Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. The last verse of that hymn. My God has all things in his keeping. He is the ever-faithful friend. He gives me laughter after weeping, and all his ways in blessings end. His love endures eternally. What pleases God, that pleases me. That very well could have been an addendum, could have fit with the prayer that we have in our text this evening. It was Hannah's prayer to Yahweh as she presents her only son into Yahweh's keeping, into his service. Let's hear that prayer one more time. My heart exalts in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like Yahweh, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For Yahweh is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. Yahweh kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. Yahweh makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are Yahweh's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of Yahweh shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. The season that's coming soon, Christmas, it's not always a happy time. Just as Hannah expresses the coming of God in her day, it depends on who you are and what your circumstances may be. For some, it is a dark and depressing time of year. Feelings of loss or discontentment or inadequacy can quickly become amplified when it seems like everyone else around you is filled with joy. All of the music and gifts and get-togethers, they actually leave many people feeling left out and isolated or just plain tired and down. That may have been something like how Hannah felt at the beginning of today's Old Testament reading. Every year, Elkanah went up to Shiloh with his two wives to worship and sacrifice to God. Yahweh of armies is how the Hebrew literally identifies him in verse 3. But this annual event that should have been a time of praise and celebration only seemed to remind Hannah that she was childless to this point. Yahweh had closed her womb. And it didn't help things that Elkanah's other wife, I think that might have been part of the problem all along, but his other wife, Peninnah, had several children. When Elkanah made his sacrifice, he would give portions of the food to Peninnah and her children, but because he loved Hannah so deeply, he would give her a double portion, as if she also had a child to feed. That only seemed to make Hannah weep and refuse to eat. To her, it felt like she was cursed, not blessed by God. Because at that time, every faithful Israelite woman hoped and prayed with all their hearts that she could be the one blessed to bear the much-awaited Messiah, whose coming had so long ago been promised by God. And so the fact that she had no children made her feel as if she was outside of that divine promise. Add to that the fact that Peninnah would provoke and irritate her because of her closed womb. You and I, we can also feel like Hannah because of our earthly circumstances, can't we? We may even be tempted to think that we are cursed and not blessed by God. But it's a trap that Satan sets for us all. To think that God's promises only apply to somebody else and not us. Oh, sure, I know what the Bible says about God's love, you might say in the mirror. But just look at all the things that are happening in my life. How could God possibly love or forgive someone like me? That's the devil's deceptive ploy at work, folks, trying to lead us into ignoring God's promises so that we lose faith, so that we sink into despair. But Elkanah, in typical male ignorance, tried to comfort Hannah by saying something like this: "Hey, you've got me, honey." Well, okay, verse 8 says it this way: "Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" Many a husband throughout centuries has struggled to understand the unique longing toward motherhood that exists within many wives' hearts. We might even offer encouragement to those struggling with this, not wrongly so, but still in ignorance. Isn't the love and the provision of your heavenly Father enough? All that you need? Which, of course, it should be for all of us, yes. But in the end, at this point, only the birth of a son could truly comfort Hannah. And so it is properly true throughout the ages. It is also and only the birth of the Son of God that brings real comfort to us all. Still, we see that in spite of her sorrow, even in the bitterness of her soul, Hannah's faith shines through. She still looked to Yahweh in faith, and she called upon his name. She prayed and she made a vow to Yahweh at the tabernacle that if he would see it fit to grant her a son, she would dedicate that son to Yahweh. She would give him over into Yahweh's service for all the days of his life. But now, don't misunderstand Hannah here. This wasn't her bargaining with God, as we may so often do with our prayers and vows. Hannah was entrusting her entire situation into God's hands. When she made that vow, she was acknowledging that Yahweh is entirely in control of all things, that it would exclusively be a gift of grace, if she were to bear a son. So also you and I, we come before the Lord in prayer, not attempting to manipulate his actions, but so that we might commit our entire lives and all that we need into his hands, the hands of him who alone can help and save us in our deepest, darkest times of need. Though we may be weak in our faith, we believe, we confess with Psalm 124, verse 8, "Our help is in the name of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth." As Hannah prayed, Eli the priest, he thought she was drunk because she only moved her lips and made no sound. And so he scolds her. But Hannah explains that she's simply pouring out her soul to God in grief. To which Eli then offers her this blessing. Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you made to him. And we see with that blessing from God, she did receive true peace so that she ate. And verse 18 says that her face was no longer sad. We're told in verse 19 that Yahweh remembered Hannah, and she conceived and she bore a son by her husband Elkanah. She called him Samuel, which literally means heard by God. A comforting truth that she could celebrate every time that she thought about or said her son's name, even if he was far away from her. So, how does all of this apply to you and me here tonight? Well, as the birth of Samuel brought peace and joy to Hannah, in a far, far greater sense, the birth of Jesus brings peace and joy to us today, even when our hearts are struggling, suffering, dealing with a lot of trouble. And why? Because in Jesus, God has answered your prayers and mine in a most profound way. In Jesus, all of our deepest needs are fully met. In fact, every faithful prayer receives God's perfect yes in Jesus. This holiday that we are celebrating 1 week from tonight, Christmas, it is living proof that we are blessed and not cursed by God, that God does in fact love and forgive you and me. That is the very reason that the Son of God took on our nature, our flesh and blood, so that he would be able to go to the cross, so that he would be able to redeem us from all things that bring us bitterness and sorrow and weariness in this earthly life. He saw you. He heard you in your isolation and sorrow. And that's why he became like you, to rescue you from all of it, to bring you into his everlasting fellowship in the midst of the difficulties of this life. The birth of Jesus, it is God's direct sign that he is for you, that he is on your side. As Paul said in tonight's epistle reading, if God is for us, who can be against us? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised to life, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, Paul concludes. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Having that absolute certain victory over anything and everything that this world can throw at us, we can be like Hannah, with a face that is no longer sad, but now is eager and able to eat and drink in the strength and fellowship, for example, that we receive in our Lord's Holy Supper. You see, Jesus is our Samuel, the daily evidence that we have been heard by God. Even before we offer our prayers in faith, as God says in Isaiah 65, verse 24, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Just as Samuel entered into the tabernacle to appear before God and remain there all of his days, so also Jesus entered into the tabernacle of our human body and soul, forever to intercede for us before the Father in his heavenly tabernacle. Once Samuel was weaned, he assisted Eli in offering sacrifices to Yahweh in God's holy house. Yet in a far, far greater way, Jesus served his Father by becoming both priest and sacrifice, offering up his own body to atone for the sins of us all. Hannah's prayer praises God for turning the things of this world upside down. Jesus reversed this world's understanding of true glory, humbling himself to endure the shame of the cross in order to reverse and defeat all of the paninas of this world, including the devil himself. And then through his resurrection, Jesus lifted up and exalted all those who trust solely in him. Notice again how in Hannah's prayer, the exalted are humbled and the humble are exalted. This is what theologians call the great reversal. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren woman has borne 7 children, but she who has many children is forlorn. Yahweh kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. Yahweh makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. That's our future. That's our present and our future. In a seat of honor with our Lord Jesus. This is God's gracious way of working, turning the thinking of our world upside down, taking down those who trust in themselves and raising up the weak and the needy who trust solely in him. Peninnah was put to shame in the end, while Hannah rejoices. The Lord actually opened her womb even more than just to bear Samuel, to have 5 more children after Samuel. Just as he opens the womb of his church to bring new life to all who believe and are baptized into Jesus. Yes, God uses what is humble to bring about his greatest victories. And so we look to the humility of the manger. And we see God's fullest glory. We look to the humility and the shame of the cross. And we see God's greatest power at work. The humility of the font and the altar. Each one his means to pour out and fill us with his grace. So just as Hannah was heard by God, so the Lord listens and hears you and me today. He hears our prayers when our souls are bitter and filled with sorrow, when we are provoked and irritated by Satan, when we are grieving and struggling. And in the birth of Jesus, he comforts and he strengthens and he exalts us as only he can do. Now, as this Advent season draws to its close, we still have one more Advent service on Sunday. Let us continue humbly to place our trust in God our Father, knowing that he will, in the fullness of his time, not ours, exalt us in the peace and joy of his Son Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.